Welcome back. This is Jeff Sachs. Welcome to Kayet Zman here in Web Yeshiva. We're still in Masechet Kiddushin. We've been in Kiddushin for a while. At some point, we're going to have to retire it. Maybe in the fall, we'll. We've learned Gittin in the past, although it's been a while. We are in Kiddushin, but we're gonna jump a little bit ahead to start from a new something new, give people a chance to refresh their minds and get a good new start after the holidays, and encourage the people that have been absent to come back. Steve, we're talking to you. Wherever you are. You heard of Steve? Really? He's a regular in this year. Anyway, we're at the Mishnah at the top of Nun Vav Omid Beis, 56B. Nun Vav Omid Beis. In order to be Mekadesh and Isha, with something, we've discussed this in the past, there are three ways to affect Kedushin: Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. Kesef, which we say is Divrei Sofrim, we talked about that, but doesn't mean that when you're Mekadesh a woman with something of monetary worth, as we all did, that you're only married Derabanan. Divrei Sofrim means that it's learned out, that Chazal learned it out from the Torah, but that it's still of Torah force. I read over Yontif, I read an interesting book by Rabbi Herschel Schechter of Yeshiva University called Divrei Sofrim, which is kind of like an account of the mechanics of Drashot Chazal. A very interesting, but it's in English. It has a Hebrew title, but it's in English.
You're talking about drashot. You're talking about the...
I don't mean drashot like homilies that the rabbi says in shul. I mean the drashot, the midot shehatorah nidreshet b'hem. The mechanics, it's a very interesting... He talks about our sugya, about Kiddushin only being midibrei. So what the Rambam means when... So people that are interested in this topic, it's a topic that interests me. So I recommend this book by Rabbi Schechter.
Is it a historical approach, or is it more like...
No, it's a Talmudic approach. It's a halachic approach. I can lend it to you. When we say that a woman is mikudeshet with kesef, what does the kesef have to be? Shave pruta. What's shave pruta? The smallest monetary value of substance. Used to be back in the old days when I came in Aliyah, there used to be a 1 agura coin.
A grush.
And there also used to be a 5 agura coin. Well, you're a real old timer.
I had a bucket full, which I just threw in the rubbish in the end. I used to collect that.
No, you know, if you go to the Shuk Pish Pashim in Yafo, there's one guy who has like all the old money.
Yeah.
And he'll sell you like the old... Who was on the old 1 shekel paper note when there was a paper? I remember the paper note of the 1 shekel.
Nice.
Who? What? I mean, there were different series. No. The Rambam. I remember... I think the last figure on the 1 shekel note that I remember was the Rambam.
There was also a half shekel note paper.
There was a half shekel note? Half lira. That was something else. So the lirot just had like pictures of camels on them, right? They didn't have like Jewish historical figures, did they? They had Moses Montefiore and they had the Rambam, and then they at some point they went over to the
lirot was still 1980. Yep. 1980.
Anyway, I remember the paper. So in the Shuk Pish Pashim, in the flea market, somebody will sell you a 1 shekel note with the Rambam for 5 shekels, which is, according to all opinions, being ripped off. And you can buy old... here. What do I have here?
Asimon?
Well, this is my last real Asimon. It's not a collector's item. It's the when you still carry Asimonim around on your keychain in case of emergency, right? You remember what the Asimon was? It was the phone token. I have no recollection of how much it cost. At the end, before, right? You would hear. I remember you'd hear that the cost of the Asimonim was going to go up,
and then you'd go
and try to corner the market. Like gas is going up tonight at midnight, so I was careful to fill up my car before on the way home.
Tie a string on it. because there's a hole in the middle.
The hole in the simon, yeah.
So if you had tied a string on it, then it doesn't go down. It keeps up.
Right, you like you, the, you
continue
like,
talking.
Yeah, like we used to with the pinball machine.
Yeah. Not me.
So, and that's why the price kept going up because of the flaws. So anyway, Shave Pruta is the least common value of money that's worth something. Like the least bit that you're not going to like just round off on error. So once one agura became financially meaningless, they got rid of it. Now everything is rounded to the nearest 10 agurot. Right? I mean, if you go to the supermarket and you buy a thing of cucumbers, since it's by weight, if it's not an exact measure, so it could cost you 3 shekel and 72 agorot. So if you're paying in cash, they'll say 370. They round down. But if you pay in credit card, as we all do, because who pays in cash still? They say 370 because they have no way to give you back the 28 agorot. But if you pay in credit card, the credit card takes the extra 2 agorot. And I guess over the course of a year, it adds up. If I were to take a pound of entrecote, how much is a kilo of entrecote? How much does that cost?
60.
How much?
160.
Hundreds, is that Shave Pruta?
I'd say so.
You'd say so. And I take a liter of what do they call that? Organic milk. Yeah, they have milk.
They went out of business. Arduf.
They don't have organic milk anymore?
It's gone.
It's more expensive.
Yeah. Oh, you can't get any.
So what's the most expensive milk you can buy? What? How much is a liter of milk? No, not almond milk. Almond milk's not going to help us in this example. Cow milk.
They have more shower and this and that.
Okay, what does a liter of milk cost? 6 shekels. So if I want to be Mekadesh a woman with a liter of milk, is she Mekudeshet? It's certainly more than a Shave Pruta. Now, I mean, she's a sucker, but it works. And Kal Vachomer, if I'm Mekadesh her with a kilo of entrecot, which is worth
160. But they can go off those two things. You see, money doesn't go off.
Yeah, but right now they're worth something. But right now they're worth something.
It's a moment.
A kilo of fresh entrecote is worth much more than a Shave Pruta. Yeah. But what if I take these two things, both of which are worth much more than a Shave Pruta, and I hook them together? What have I done? Well, in what way have I made them valueless?
It's impossible to use them for anything.
Why? Because they're asur bahana'a. There's a prohibition to derive benefit from it. Which means if I sell it to a goy, which is what they used to call a non-Jew, who's allowed to eat cheeseburgers and the like? Am I allowed to do that?
No.
It, you know, with basar v'chalav, meat and milk together, not only are you not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to cook it, and you're also not allowed to derive benefit from it.
Also, like a cheeseburger is not deraita.
Why is a cheeseburger not deraita?
You're not cooking together.
Sure you are. A cheeseburger?
No, you lay the cheese on it. But wait a minute. I have seen it before, but I believe, where on the griddle, while the herb is cooking,
yeah, the middle,
they lay the cheese on top. Now they become cooked together.
Yeah, yeah. It's also in the Torah. If it's beef.
No, it's not even on a
Drabanan. Even chicken parmesan is only, it's also us a Drabanan, it's also us a Bahanab Drabanan. Anyway, don't complicate matters.
Oh. Zarim Yavinu.
What?
Zarim Yavinu, the concept of cheeseburger. They're not familiar with the concept. I'm saying.
Who's not familiar?
We've never had a cheeseburger.
They're aware that such a thing exists. You know what shrimp is?
Yeah, somebody's short.
Oh, shrimp on the barbie.
Yeah.
Okay, so you cook the meat and the milk together, but so by now, because the meat still Shave Pruta.
Oh! But is it not Shave? Does it lose its financial value?
Shave Pruta.
What? Does it lose?
It doesn't necessarily lose value, but it loses value because he can't benefit from the sale, from the transaction that the.
The subject of our Mishnah is being Mekadesh a woman with things that are Asur Bahana'a. So look at our Mishnah here.
Mishnah of our love of Pesach.
Interestingly, do you see it on the list?
No.
Hamakadesh Be'orla. There are a number of famous stories. There are a number of famous stories about, you know, Rabbi Soloveitchik was known for having a sharp tongue when people said stupid things in Shi'ur. There was a story, you know, that the Gemara in Brachot talks about the first sugya in Brachot, in the fourth parak of Brachot, it's Tfilas HaShachar, which we once learned together many years ago. It talks about what we call davening vatikin, right? Davening, timing your davening so that you say Shema right before the Netzach Hama and you get up to the bracha of Goal Yisrael at Netzach. You know what davening vatikin is. Like we do on Shavuos. So somebody's reading the Gemara and misreads the word vatikin and says Vatican. I'm crazy. So apparently somebody in the Shir once, in a different context, read this Mishnah, Hamakadesh Be'orla, you try to betroth a woman with a foreskin. No. Right. You try to betroth a woman with the orla of a fruit. Fruit in the first 3 years is orla. In the fourth year, it's netaravai, which is like maaser sheni. But if you all know this, the orla, the first 3 years, orla, the fruit is forbidden. Not only can't you eat it, but it is also asur be'hana'ah. You can't derive any benefit from it. So let's say you have an olive tree. Now, in reality, unless you're replanting a mature tree already, in reality, you don't encounter that much orla. Because real fruit trees require a couple of years until they really start producing fruits. Right? If you plant a stick in the ground, you go to the Mishtalan, you buy an olive tree, a little stick. It takes a while until it grows big enough and matures and hits puberty, tree puberty, and starts producing fruit. We have an olive tree. We never had orla problems because it took years before it started producing olives. Now we have too many. So you have olives, but let's say that you have olives that are orla, so you can't eat them. But you know what you can do with olives? You can make olive oil for lighting your Shabbos candles. Nevertheless, it is prohibited because it's asur b'hana. So if you're mekadesh with orla, b'chlei hakerim. What's chlei hakerim?
Species that are going to the same
place. It's a kind of chutneys. It's one of the varieties of chutneys. You have a vineyard. So in the space of the vineyard, there's certain things you can't plant. You know how vineyards work, right? Now, the grapes grow up. They grow up on like a trellis. Right? Now, there's one vine. It gets very big and thick, and it grows up on this shred like a chuppah, right? And the grapes hang down. Excuse me. But underneath, there's a lot of space. So why waste that space? You could plant wheat there. No, that's called klei hakerim. It's a form of chutneys, of kilayim, forbidden mixtures. And if you plant it, it's asur bahana. Beshor haniskal. If you have a shor, and we learn that it's not just a shor, it's any animal, you have a shor that kills someone. So the betin of 23, we learned this in Sanhedrin, the betin of 23 passes a death sentence against the shor, and the shor has to be stoned to death. This sounds a little, and the animal itself is brought into the court and judged. But this was true even in medieval and early modern England. They did such things. You can Google like animals on trial. And this was a historical thing that had a much longer life, long past our own Sanhedrin. The Egla Arufa, you know what the Egla Arufa is? Somebody turns up dead, and we don't know who it is, and we don't know who's responsible, and it's between this town and that town. You do this ceremony. So the animal itself was designated as the Egla Arufa, is Asur Be, is Asur Be'ana. Sipurei Matzora. We just read about this. You remember before Pesach? Parshat Matzora? It's Sipurei. What is the Matzora? The, what do they call him? The leper? What does he have to do with these birds? Uf Gozal. Right? He takes two birds. What does it remind you of?
Ask me or not tell me.
Well, I mean, since you've published on this subject, it reminds you of the Se'er Lazazel. One goes to over the cliff, and one is, right? He brings two birds. One is slaughtered, the other is set free, like at the Olympics, right? But these birds are Asur Bahana'a. The Gemara is going to discuss both birds, only one bird, only the bird that's slaughtered. What about the free bird? Okay. Ser HaNazir. The Nazir takes a vow. He can't drink wine. He can't become Tameh, etc. And he has to grow his hair. And when he's done with his Nazirut, he shaves his hair. And the hair itself is Asur Bahana'a. What would you do with the hair? What? Make a sheitel. You could make what?
Make a mattress.
You could make a mat. You could stuff your mattress with it, right? No, the hair is burned. It's asur behana. I mean, maybe he had very nice hair. You know how much a sheitel costs? It's more than a shava pruta sheitel. I mean, my wife doesn't wear such things, but it costs a lot of money. It costs a lot of money, and so you sell it. You can make money. No, it's Peter Chamur. What's Peter Chamur?
The
pasuk says in Parshat Bo, the whole Peter Chamur tifte base ve'imlo tifte ve'rafto. Something about donkeys. I mean, donkeys aren't kosher animals. They can't be slaughtered. They can't be brought as sacrifices. But something about donkeys. Why dafka donkeys and not horses? I don't know. I mean, the Mefarshim know. They give all types of explanations. But when you have a donkey, which farmers had, donkeys are very useful creatures, right? So the firstborn donkey of this mother donkey has to be redeemed with a seh on a sheep, and then the sheep is slaughtered because you obviously can't sacrifice a donkey in the Beit HaMikdash. And if you don't do that, so this donkey, you have to chop, not ritually, meaning you don't slaughter it ritually, but you chop its head off, right? The same way as the egla arufa. But the donkey itself is asur behana. So you want to be makarish to a woman with this donkey? No doing. Can you be makarish a woman with a regular donkey? Yeah, the donkey is probably worth a lot more than that ring. How much does a donkey cost? It's more than what?
Depends which donkey.
If it's a talking donkey, it's worth a look. Uvasar vechalav, and are the case we spoke about meat and milk, which have been cooked together. Asur bahana'a. If you give her my entrecote cooked in, not mine, you understand, but the example that I gave of the entrecote cooked in a liter of milk, in a cream tartare. Right? Veal parmesan. What? Say it right. I'm a sinner, and I make a veal parmesan, which is certainly more than shavuot. You know what veal costs? And I try to be mekadesh with this delicious plate of veal parmesan. No, dude?
Just issue for a dog, for animal food.
For animal food. That's a separate question. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying, in other words, you might normally think that it's not.
It's not such a. Why is animal food? It animal food. A lot of dog food. It has. We have two grand dogs, which to me, frankly, I think grandchildren without fur would be better. But we've got two grand dogs. We call them the Nechdogim. So the kids are coming. My daughter was coming for the first day of Ziyantif, and then my son was coming for the second day of Ziyantif. So I said, remember, you have to get dog food. It's not kashal Pesach, but it's natul chametz. A lot of animal food has chametz in it.
You actually get that?
But
you told them they have to bring dog for the chametz.
I reminded them that
I asked you once about it. You gave me
your Web Yeshiva rabbi who gave me the psak that it wasn't a
mitzvah. Lapitom. That dog food could have chametz in it? They eat it. Dog is eating it.
No, you know the other story with Rasal Beitzik when they said to him, you know, the dog
toothpaste.
He said, what? So your dog is not a bullshit. But no, we spoke to him. I think it was Rabbi Wood. It's not an issue.
Rabbi Wood, Rabbi Dave Wook.
I asked him once. I have a plaque.
But people are makbid to get.
The Basar is an issue because it's you put them together.
For a different reason. Wait.
The dog when it says Ein Garinim still has Shimrei Bira in it, so it's also.
Oh, I don't know. But they have dog food that says Natul Chametz. Yes. That it's not kosher because a Jew can't eat it. But it has some other issue. It has some other issue of some Rabbanut Nahariya. I don't know. Anyway. Oh, Kityon. So I go down here to the Akuza to buy dog food. You know what this dog food called? But dog food is with free range duck, and they eat better than us. So, no, but except for what? Which kind of basar b'chalav is asur ba'ana? Which kind of basar b'chalav is what? It would have to be not just the kosher animal.
The teeth of the cow.
What? Not just that. It has to be. No, it would have to be shechta kosher. To be over on basar b'chalav min haTorah, it first has to be kosher meat and kosher milk. Because if you start off with non-kosher meat. Because it's, let's say, a nevela, or because it's pork, and you cook it in milk, we have a principle of ein isur chal al ha'isur. Once something is already forbidden, you can't eat that meat because it's a nevela, it didn't have proper shrita. Once it's already forbidden to eat, you can't superimpose on it an additional isur of a basar. So min haTorah you can get benefit out of it. Midrabanan, in certain cases, we say you can't even do that. But for dog food, most people are mekel about basar b'chalav in dog food because the dog food itself, the meat that's in the dog food, is certainly not kosher meat. It's nevela, or it's horse meat, or it's whatever it is.
It's pig. It was David. You forwarded me the email where he said it was not an issue.
Forward it back to me.
Also,
yeah, they eat all types of things. Yeah, and now you have dogs who are vegans. And
my wife sent me a hug. Literally, go by three kilos of basal tapon.
Well, anyway, we
I ran to the satliz or bitliz, whatever his name is, and I said, "Is it flat? Is it this?" And then he turned it one of the things. You want to mix it twice or what? Because it's for the dog. You know, this bloody dog. I went all the way there for that, and he didn't like it.
So basar b'chalav uvechulin shenishchatu ba'azara. Chulin means food that we eat, meaning not food that we slaughter, not animals we slaughter for karbanot. So let's say you want to, let's say you've got a goat, and you want to eat some goat. Goat's delicious, or sheep. Sheep's even better. Lamb is even better. And you have, you know, in the old days you had a chicken. So you want to have chicken for dinner. What do you have to do? Well, you grab the chicken by the neck and you take it to the shochet. And then you come back and you spend the day plucking the feathers and who knows what.
Pasturing it.
The whole nine yards. So you have a sheep and you want to have a barbecue tonight. So you have to go to the shochet. So you go to the shochet and the shochet says, you know, close today, simcha in the family. So what are you going to do? Well, you live very close to the Mishkan. You live very close to the Mikdash. And you know what they have there? Shochtim. No line, no waiting. They've got the whole thing. You've seen those videos, the virtual reality of the Mikdash. So I think I'll take my little lamb to Beis HaMikdash. One of those guys will shecht it for me, and then I'll go home and have a barbecue. That's called Chulin Ba'azara. That's Asur. Why is it us, sir? Well, it might be connected to that. The idea that all of the shechita that goes on in the Azara in the Mikdash is for the purpose of the Mikdash. So it's maybe it's a form of mi'ilah, of misappropriation of the space of the Beit HaMikdash, or the resources, even if you shecht it yourself, right? This is called shchitat chulin ba'azara. And the animal that you shecht is asur bahana. Right? Not only can't you eat it, you can't even get benefit. You can't even get benefit from it. It's a pasuk. It's a pasuk. Where do we learn? What pasuk has all of the halachot of shchita and meat? Well, it's mostly in Re'eh. Mostly in Parshat Re'eh. Right? It's not the list of which of the animal, the kosher animals, but the mitzvah of shchita is found in Parshat Re'eh, in Sefer Dvarim, Perek Yud Bet, Yud Gimel. So the posuk says, ki yarchik mimcha hamakom. Hold on. It's Dvarim Yud Bet Kof Aleph. Ki yirchak mimcha makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha lasum shmo sham. When you're distant from the Mikdash, what's distant? You're outside of the Mikdash. The place where God chose to dwell His name. Bezavachta mibkarecho mitzoncha. Asher natan Hashem lecha kasher tziviticha v'achalta b'sharecha b'chol avat nafshecha. So you can eat that. What is shechita talking about in the Torah? It's principally talking about parbanot. The Torah is aware that we do shechita for other purposes. That's what we call chulin. Chulin means like chol, non-sacred purposes. It's what the Torah calls b'chol avat nafshecha, or what Chazal call basar ta'ava. That sounds pretty bad, right? The meat of your desires, your fleshy appetites.
It is a positive thing.
It,
in the it, it, if you don't have a ta'ava, you shouldn't even do it.
Yeah, but the Torah means it to say if you want to eat meat, it has to be shechted. Right, but that's the meat that you shecht outside of the Mikdash if you want to have those spare ribs. Right? But what you shecht in the Mikdash is for korbanot, and if you shecht basar ta'ava in the Mikdash, then it's asur behana. It's a slaughter. I mean, zvachim with a capital Zion means animal slaughter in animal sacrifices. The slaughter of animal sacrifices. But it could also mean what we call shchita. What we colloquially call shchita. What? So all of these things, if you're mekadesher, ena mikudeshet. But why?
The
Seder. But is it Shaveh Pruta? Or isn't it Shaveh Pruta? In other words, you're not allowed to get Hanah from it.
Where do you say Shaveh Pruta? Where is the Shaveh Pruta in the criteria? It isn't the Shaveh Pruta. No. You're saying that, but it isn't the commercial of the Shaveh Pruta. Here it just says,
no. If I were to, you ever see a lobster?
I showed my kids a lot. We were in America, and I showed my kids lobster in the supermarket. They were
In the supermarket. It used to be fun. It's like going to the aquarium. You see the lobsters in the you've all seen Annie Hall, right? That picture of them putting the lobster in the, and he doesn't know what, because he's a Jew. He doesn't know what to do with it. Which is, I mean, he was a Jew. Yeah, well, Woody Allen's eating lobsters. I assure you. Now I've told you the story about my cousin. I have a cousin who grew up completely not religious, so she married a boy who grew up religious but had gone off. And when he was marrying her, it was like a little aggravating for his family, because they were hoping he'd meet a nice religious girl and settle down. And this was like the makkah bepatish that I was going to have. But the joke was on them, because she became more religious and he became even less religious. And then they got divorced. Anyway, he brings her home to meet the family. and she meets the Zayde. And he's still at a Zayde, not a grandpa. So he says, Zayde, this is my kala. And he looks at Zayde, looks at her and says, you eat lobsters? Not welcome to the family. You eat lobsters? So she says, well, Zayde, tell you the truth. Yeah. So he says, what does it taste like? So she says, tastes like chicken. She says, so no, why not eat a chicken? So if I were to give you.
Basically, it's not your.
Do you pour me some water?
Not yours.
Is asur bahana mean it's valueless or that you're prohibited to gain benefit from it?
Well, the latter is
there. Does it not mean if you would steal from someone that something that was a surba now, you have to pay them back? That's value.
I go to the store and I buy a kilo of meat and a liter of milk. But do I own both of them? If you can I be Makadesh a woman with either of them? If you steal either of them or both of them from me, have you stolen? Yes. But the minute I boil them together, I lose my ownership over. Is that what you're saying? I'm not sure.
What you pretty much do, because you stand in the regular case. You cannot do anything with it except throw it out.
No, if it say, when it talks about certain things in the Gemara about you have to like throw it in Yam HaMelech. It doesn't say you have to throw Basar B'chal in Yam HaMelech. It doesn't say you can't own it. It just says you can't get any benefit from it. So I don't think it's...
The Gemara is aware of a category of things called Ketutei Mechtat Shiurei. Things which, although they have physical form and substance are as if they do not exist.
Yeah.
If I have a beautiful etrog, smells nice and it's perfectly symmetrical and it's a la Milus, and on the open market it would go for 400 shekel on Erev Sukkot and for 40 agarot on the day after Shmini Atzeres. But it's from an ir hanidachat, or it's from an asherah, a tree that was worshipped as a avodah zarah. Can I take it for my esrog? Why? Because it's not just nisar hana. Because in halacha it doesn't exist. It's like a hologram, right? Once it's the fruit, you know, like in the law, the idea of the fruit of the poison tree, like there are certain things we know to be objectively true, right? If you commit a crime and I, policeman, pull you in and I don't read you your Miranda rights and I don't let you have a lawyer and I force a confession out of you, right? And we know that it's objectively true. That evidence cannot be entered into a court of law. That evidence is as if it doesn't exist. That's in legal terminology, it's called the fruit of the poisonous tree. Right? So here it's literally the fruit of the idolatrous tree. Right? And since the tree has to be completely, there's an obligation to completely destroy this idolatrous, it's not an idolatrous, what would you call it? Not an idolatrous tree, but a tree which has been the object of idolatry. Right? So since the fruit has an obligation to be destroyed, it's as if it's already destroyed. Right?
It seems to me that we're discussing how can you a woman with something like that. The point is, there's no, you're prohibited.
Yeah.
And by marrying a woman, there's your hana, you're just not allowed to do it. You can't take something like that.
No. Why?
Because that's a benefit for you. And you're prohibited.
Theta, but if you do it, shouldn't it work?
Woman has to receive
the value of
her. Well,
you give the woman a wish of a hotel, she now owes this ring. Right? Yeah. If things go south, she has something to fall back on. You gave her something that she so far now.
Yeah, except you are imagining like some movie you saw, right? About what an engagement. Somebody once said, like, an engagement ring should be worth the value of like the man's 1 month salary. That's what Dear Abby said. But Beseda, so let's say you give her something that's really only shavaputa, something that's worth 25 cents, and the marriage goes south. What's she going to fall back on? 25 cents?
She has nothing to, it doesn't work because what you're giving her, she can't cash in at the end of the day and get anything from.
So the Mishnah says, so the Mishnah then says, Machran, but wait a second. If I take this big platter of veal parmesan, which is financially worthless to me, but, you know, you can go to a restaurant and spend a lot of money on veal parmesan, I'm told. So if you sell your platter of veal parmesan, which you should not do, why shouldn't you do it? Because you're getting, I know. You're violating an issur. It's no less asur than eating the thing. But if you violated it and take the money and then are makadesh her with that money, v'kidesh bidmehen, and you're makadesh her with the money that you earned from your veal parmesan, mikudesh it.
Is that apply in general? In other words, generally, we say any money made, any money benefit from any of these things, you could just use whatever it is.
Meaning not just pasuk b'chalav?
No, I'm saying not just for kedushin. In other words, you had any of these things, you sold your arla, you sold your kilei akerem, and you have the money, you can go. It's good now. It loses its.
You. In other words, the prohibition does not. In other words, the money is money, right? Mikudeshet, right? Because the prohibition does not transfer to the money. There are cases where the prohibition does transfer to the money. What are two cases where the prohibition transfers to the money? What's the it's a question. Somebody pointed out that I would have thought that Chametz Shavar Alav HaPesach would be on the list, but it's not. But what's a bigger thing that should be on the list? What? Chametz on Pesach, or the biggest thing that's asur bahana, avodah zarah. Right? I have a pesel. Right? I have a statue which is real avodah zarah. Now, I mean, you'll say, well, maybe Christianity, maybe Islam is not real avodah zarah, is not right, and maybe it's a statue that was made for art and wasn't worshipped. But a real, let's say you have it, and it's got a badatz hechsher on it that this is avodah zarah mahadrin min mahadrin, right? Worshipped by the best of them, right? Not only is it also bahano, but you got to destroy it. Right? There's no obligation if I have a heftza of a basa b'cholov. It happens. You've heard about the pot of meat and the drop of milk and the spoon and the this and the that. Like the bread and butter of rabbi work. So if I have basa b'cholov, I can't get hanah from it. Do I have to destroy it? Yeah. I mean, it's stupid to leave it laying around. But I don't, there's no obligation to destroy it per se. You should throw it away, because who wants a pot of basa b'cholov sitting around? Can you give it to a goy? So, the question is, can you sell it to a goy? You can.
Okay, what? You can't give it to a goy because you can't give it. You're not allowed to give a goy a gift.
What?
I can give the one place of attention. Be able to actually monetary value. I can go to the Italian restaurant and drink now, right? He bought kosher meat and cold Israel and gave him to me or sold him. He doesn't make a difference. I didn't do it. And I give it to a woman and say, hurry up, that's so she can't use it.
No, but it's also about, and it's if you take possession of it, you're not responsible for its production. Right? Gino, the Italian chef, is. But you take ownership of it. It's also for you to then have hanah from it. or to, you know, it'd be also for you to eat it, and it'd be also for you to have benefit from it, the same as if you had produced it yourself. You just get off the hook of the prohibition of having produced it. So David asks a question. Maybe this is not, who says this is about. Who says this is about Shavu'ot Pruta? Right? Right. So that's the assumption of the Gemara, which we're about to see. But if you look at Tosfot here, Tosfot Hamakadesh Be'orla, towards the bottom. The Tosfos says Hamakadesh Be'orla V'chulei Eina Mikudeshet Pe'ush Lefi She'isur Hana'a De'im Tomar Amai Eina Mikudeshet Ha'ashare Lehanot Mimena Shelo Kederech Hana'ato. Wait a second. When we say something is Asur Be'hana'a, we mean all times, all ways, every circumstance? No. There are circumstances where things that are Asur Be'hana'a, you can get some use out of them. If the use that you're gaining is atypical use,
Because both of our fathers fertilized.
Yeah, maybe.
Gotcha.
So, would you say that giving a woman, what's the, remember the Family Feud? 100 people surveyed, top 5 answers on the board. These are the top 5 uses of veal parmesan. What? Not you. You know how the game works? We play this game with my kids. We play, you've seen the Family Feud. If they do a random sampling, it's not what you say to the kids, like top five ice cream flavors. So what's the answer? Vanilla chocolate, right? So my daughter will say at Sefet here, they have like a Smurf flavored ice cream that's like blue marshmallow. Right? If you ask 100 random people, that is not going to be one of the top 5 answers. And it's irrelevant what she thinks. The point of the game is to guess what the 100 random, so 100 random people surveyed, top 5 answers, but what is the use of veal parmesan? To be eaten. No, to be
sold.
To sell in your restaurant. Show me sell in the restaurant, ding, number 2. What? No, you ask 100 random people. Not a single one of them is going to say, oh, I have this romantic vision of standing under the chuppah that I'm going to say, Hariat Mikudeshet Li, with this veal parmesan. Right? You know what veal parmesan is?
Yeah? Schnitzel with cheese.
Schnitzel with cheese. Maybe like what use of veal parmesan is, you watch those fancy cooking shows, right? And on the fancy cooking show, they're using veal parmesan to demonstrate technique. Julia Childs is showing you the best way to veal parmesan. No one is going to say to be Makadesh a woman. So wait a second. When he has this heftza of veal parmesan, which is asur ba'achila and asur ba'hano, but he uses it, but it has financial value. After all, if I'm prepared to violate the prohibition, I can sell it to a non-Jew who'll pay me a lot of money for it. Right? It has value in the world. Right? There's no obligation to destroy. The etrog that was worshipped for Avodah Zarah halachically doesn't exist. Right? Halachically, it doesn't exist. Right? It's like a phantom. The veal parmesan exists. Right? So when I give it to her, what am I doing? I'm using it in an unusual, shelo derech hana'ato. Not in the normal way, not the Jews, not that non-Jew. I'm prepared to say in the history of the world, no one has ever been Mekadesh a woman with veal parmesan. Not Jews, not non-Jews. Right? Never happened. So, there's a Havamina. Shouldn't it work? You shouldn't do it. Right? You shouldn't do it. Right?
No.
Giving it to her, giving her the veal parmesan as the Mishnah already says, if I sell it and use the money, I shouldn't have done it, but she's my wife. But here I'm giving her a plate of veal parmesan, right? Which would cost, what do you think that costs in a nice restaurant? A lot of money, much more than Shavuot Pruta. So Tosfos first says, this proves that the problem is not the Mishnah. What is the subject of our Mishnah?
Can we
What's the problem? Why, when I do this, when I give her the veal parmesan, which is not shederech hanato, the normal way that you benefit from veal parmesan, she's not mikudeshet. But why?
Because nothing for her purposes.
Not for her. Your purpose is not right.
Not for her.
Because it's not a shever pruta. In other words, this Mishnah is not really about asur isur hana'a. It's about the Jew who's trying to be Makadesh the woman, it's valueless. Right? And even if I would violate the prohibition and sell it to a goy and walk away with money, with which I could be Makadesh, sure, since I shouldn't be able to do that, it has no value. Right? And in that regard, it's conceptually similar to the Avodah Zarah Etrog.
I have a situation in Halacha where one party would have Isura and another wouldn't. Maybe like a neder.
Yeah, a neder. Yeah.
So if he made a neder that I can't have any ba'anaf in this ring, but she can. That might be an example where you can find out whether it actually was an issue. Because for her, it would be shevet bruta, but for the...
So then Tosfos gives another answer. Even if you can use something that's asur bahana shelo derech hanato in an unusual manner, when a woman accepts something, for a woman to accept something and to constitute the kiddushin, it has to be something that she can use in a normal way. Meaning, there's no way to affect kiddushin with an object anormally, abnormally. So even if she were to say, sure, I'll take this plate of basar b'chalav as my kesef kiddushin, it doesn't work. Because this is more similar to what you wanted to say, but not necessarily for the reason you wanted to say it, Sal. Right? She has to get something that's of value. Right? And the value itself, we spoke about this at the beginning of the Masechta. The value itself is the thing which generates the kiddushin, this exchange of the object of value. Is the manner in which the mystical marital bond is formed. So since this has no practical actual value, even minimal value, even shavuot pruta value, which is not worth much, but at least actually does exist in the world of finance, conceptual finance, so then we can't say that this is a normal usage of any kind of object, and it's a Tosfos says it's kiddushei ta'us. It's a mistaken marital act, and it doesn't work.
She doesn't need to get misafik.
And she's not married at all. Yeah.
What about something that is so valuable that there's no value for it? Can we call priceless? Like you couldn't sell the Mona Lisa anywhere.
Yeah, but
seven more than a puto.
Yeah, but it is. Yeah.
But they have seven more puto you can get in very far.
There's an interesting, we'll pause here, but I'll add a PS. I spoke about this 2 years ago. We're coming up on Shavuos already. So 2 years ago on Shavuos, I taught something interesting, which I hadn't considered this application here. Generally speaking, in halacha for financial law does not take into account what we call sentimental value. I have a watch that was my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather received this watch from my great-grandmother's parents, from my great-great-grandparents when they got engaged. And on the back, I'm named after him, right? And it says 2JS, Joseph Sakovsky was his name, from the Cook family. The watch was probably not a very valuable watch 100 plus years ago when they gave it. It doesn't work. It doesn't keep good time. It's not worth anything. If I tried to sell it on eBay, I'd get almost nothing for it. But to me, it's of inestimable value. So if you rip it off my arm and throw it on the ground and break it, so I want to be Toveya, Dinei Nezikin. Right? How much is it worth? So generally speaking, for Dinei Nezikin, for property damage, what do we say? How much would you get for it on the shuk? Right? $15? But for me, it's worth...
Tsar.
But for the Nezikin itself, right? So most poskim don't take into account sentimental value. Rav Asher Weiss, who's a very creative and an original posek, so he is prepared to entertain the value of sentimental value. And he has a long tshuva where he discusses this, and this is what we learned on Leil Shavuos 2 years ago. But it's hard to imagine the actual case, but imagine a case like this. Something which is less than a shove pruta on the shuk, you can't be mekadesh a woman with it. But for me, this is a very special little nothing, a very special little bauble. For me, for sentimental reasons, it's worth more than a shavu pruta. So what would happen if you're a Makadesh woman with that? It's hard to imagine an actual application.
Okay, talking story. Can imagine somebody.
Yes. Okay. Anyway, until next week.